I received something from Pauline Shear that I wanted to share with you today. And it's titled, Don't Wash Your Hair in the Shower. And the gist of it is, there's a warning about washing your hair in the shower. And let me explain. The person who wrote this says, it involves the shampoo when it runs down your body when you shower with it. It's a warning to us all. I don't know why I didn't figure this out sooner. I use shampoo in the shower when I wash my hair, and the shampoo runs down over my whole body. But very clearly printed on the shampoo label is this warning. It's for extra body and volume. And the writer says, no wonder I have been gaining weight. The person said, well, I got rid of the shampoo, and I'm going to start showering with Dawn dishwashing soap instead. This is what the label reads. It dissolves fat that is otherwise difficult to remove. So chuck the shampoo. It's going to add volume to your body. But do it with Dawn dishwashing soap. It'll dissolve your fat. Hey, that's a good one. Thank you, Pauline. She's here this morning. All right. There's a lot happening in our world. As I mentioned in the prayer time, on February 23rd, Ahmaud Arbery, a 25-year-old black man, was fatally shot by two white men while he jogged through a South Georgian neighborhood, and Arbery had no weapon on him. On May 25th, George Floyd, Minneapolis, died of suffocation as a police officer had his knee on his neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. It was all caught on a cell phone camera, and we've heard the phrase that George has said. He says, I can't breathe. Truly a tragic event in our land. But then there's been a lot of things that followed those two events and other events in which there's been protest marches throughout America and even the world. There's been looting and burning of buildings and destruction of property. It's truly a crisis time in our country. People are protesting for justice and fairness, for equal rights, and that all nationalities, regardless of color of skin, would have the same fairness and rights. As I thought about the condition of our country, I wanted to share a message today titled this, Three Things the Church Has That the World Needs. There are many things that the church has, but I want to talk about three things today that the church has that this world that we are living in needs. And I want to tie God's word into what's going on in our country today. And so I want to just jump in. The three things, let's ask the question, what are they? And here's the first one. The first thing that this world needs, that the church has, is a biblical worldview of the value of people. A biblical worldview. Let me read for you from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Paul writes this. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. You see, at one point, Paul had a very worldly point of view of who Jesus was as well as the people around him, and he did not value people. Something happened inside Paul, and he says, we do not regard people from a worldly point of view. What's a worldview? Here's what it is. It's how you look at the world. It's your lens in which you see people in life. You filter life through your worldview. If you're an atheist, the things that happen in this world are just kind of random, and there may not be any purpose. If your worldview is centered around materialism, that means that the way you win is to acquire a lot. And so there's different worldviews, lenses, how you look at life. And the worldview is like colored glasses. It colors everything you look at. So Paul is saying this about Jesus. There was a time in his life where he did not value Jesus for who he was. Jesus did not leave a home behind. He did not leave things of value and worth in terms of worldly possessions. He's only 33 years old. And from a worldly standpoint, his life really didn't account for much. But something happened inside Paul where his view shifted. And he became to realize that Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world that could change his life. And his worldview, Paul's, became different. I read a story about Ian Hyde, a pastor of a church. In his earlier years, he was in the military. He had very poor vision. It was 20/400. He needed glasses. He was nearsighted. He said a computer screen just a few feet away without his glasses was very blurry. He went into the service, and he knew his glasses were very important because he couldn't do his job without them. And then he heard about a laser type of surgery that could help him. So he went to Walter Reed Memorial Hospital, and the doctor told him this won't take long. And so he got on whatever was needed, and they did a laser surgery on his eyes to correct his vision problem. And in just a few seconds after doing one eye and then the other, the doctor said this: "I want you to read the clock across the room." And for the first time in many years, Ian Hyde could read the clock, the hands on the wall, without his glasses. But I want you to know what he said after all this got done. Here it is. He said this: "I had new eyes, and they changed the way I experienced and interacted with the world." This laser surgery set him free from the glasses, and he said, "I had new eyes. And all of a sudden, I saw life differently. I could see the raindrops coming down and hitting the ground." He couldn't see those before. He could see the clear colors of the greenness of the grass in a way he'd never seen them before. He said he had new eyes. Listen, when you and I come to Christ and we believe God's word and we believe what he says in that and make it our own, you know what it does? He gives us a new heart. And we see people differently. We get a new worldview. It's a biblical worldview based on what God says about people. And the message in point number one is this: God wants us to all to have a biblical worldview of the value of people, regardless of their color, regardless of their nationality, regardless of their education. Every person in God's eyes is equal. You know why? When Jesus died on a cross, everyone is valued to him, valuable. So the biblical worldview, just a few thoughts about this is this: when we embrace the principles of the scripture, it instructs us how to act toward other people. 1 Peter 2:17, it says, "Show proper respect to everyone." Listen, you and I, Walton, New York, and beyond, have a responsibility to be respectful to every person we meet. We may not agree with them, but respect is always in order. A second thing the biblical worldview tells us about people, it teaches us how to speak to others. In Ephesians 4, here's what Paul said: "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." The way you and I talk to other people, we want to build them up. We want to lift them up. We don't want to put them down. We don't want to be demeaning. We don't want to be negative. The biblical principle is you and I being an agent to build people up in their life. There's a third thing, and it's just this: the biblical worldview tells us how to value other people. In Galatians 3:28, it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And so when you put all this together, we all need the eye surgery that Ian Hyde had, only we need heart surgery so that we see the world, other people, through the lens of how God sees them, treating them with respect, speaking in positive ways, and also viewing other people as equal, because that's how God views each of us. In America today, I believe we need a biblical view of the value of each person, some 331 million people in America, of how God sees them. We need to see them the same way. Point number two. The second thing that the church has that the world needs is this, is we know the way to make peace with God. We know the way to make peace with God. Verse 17, here's what Paul writes. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. The church, God's scripture, knows the way to have peace with God. Can I tell you, the unrest in our country, the rioting, the looting, it's a symptom of what's in people's hearts. And those, whatever's in our heart needs to somehow come into a place of submission for God to make us into a new creation. I read a story about Augustine. He lived in the 3rd and 4th century A.D. Before he came to faith in Christ, he lived a very sensual life. And one day after he was saved, he was walking down the street and there was a prostitute along the side of the road. She recognized him and he recognized her. The prostitute called out and said, Augustine, it is I. There was silence. She said it again. She said, Augustine, it is I. And this is what Augustine said back to her. He said, yes, but it is no longer I. He said, yes, but it is no longer I. I am changed. I am different. I have a different mission in life. I have a higher life to live because Christ is in me and I'm at peace with God through my faith in Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says that God wants you and me to be reconciled to him. The word reconcile means to find new favor with God himself. And so Augustine found that favor. You and I, each of us here, can find that favor. And God invites every one of us here today in the sanctuary, those listening through this broadcast, he wants you to have peace with him as you come to him. Because he wants you to become a new creation, a new vessel, one that is changed, one that is transformed, one that gives you higher aspirations to pour your life into, to live a life of purity, to live a life that honors him. The church has that to offer a broken world of a new life in Christ. Well, number one, wow, the church has a biblical worldview of the value of people, and we all need to embrace that. Number two, the church has the way, knows the way through Christ Jesus to have peace with God. Let me share with you number three. The third thing that the church has that we can offer the world is this. It's how to live a purpose-driven life to help other people. A purpose-driven life. Let me read for you some verses from this same text in 2 Corinthians. Here's what Paul says. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You know what that is? Helping people find the favor of God in their life. He says it's there if they want it. That God was in the world reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them. I want to stop there. You want to live a purpose-driven life? You're wondering what it is. Can I tell you, this is your mission. Six words, not counting men's sin against them. Six words that if you and I went to every house in Walton, we went to every house in the county, every place in America and said, you know what? God will not count your sins against you because of his favor. Can I tell you, it gives us a life of purpose. You know why? We want to help rescue those from that which they are trapped in, that we once were trapped in ourselves. He goes on to say this, we are therefore Christ's ambassador. An ambassador is a statesman, a representative of the home country. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Find his favor. Because when you live in his favor, life is altogether different. That's what Augustine found. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Here's what he's saying. We have a message to share with the world that how people can find the favor of God that gives us a purpose-driven life to live out. Last night I was doing some reading, and in the May 26, 2020 USA Today paper, there was an article in there that there's $1.2 billion that's been given to the U.S. Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority. And you know what it's for? It's for 300 million doses of a vaccine against the virus. And in reading last night, there's 102 possible vaccine candidates that they're working on as we speak. 102. It's a very tricky thing to figure out. But they're working around the clock to figure out a vaccine. 10 of those 102 are in trials. They're testing them out. Phase 1, 2, and 3. So some are at different stages. AstraZeneca is one of them. And so there's 10 of them in trial. And they're all trying to figure out the vaccine for the virus. And life is somewhat on hold in many places. Cruise ships, the entertainment industry, professional sports, airlines, colleges, high school, middle school, elementary school kids. Life has been disrupted because of the virus. And there's 102 companies out there trying to figure out a virus as the immunity from the virus itself. I want you to think this through. Can you imagine the company that solves the issue of figuring out the vaccine for the virus? Imagine. Somebody's got to hopefully step up and make it happen. But here's the deal. Once that company figures it out and they prove it's effective, can I tell you, that story and message are going to take off around the world. People will just become electrified. They'll say, I want it because I want to be immunized against the virus. We're just waiting that out. We're just praying and hoping that'll happen. But you know, I want to get back to the purpose-driven life. There's another virus in our world. It's sin, which separates us from God. And there is a vaccine already provided for. It's called the grace of God and the forgiveness of God. And we have a message that says to anybody in the world, if you want to find favor with God, this is how you do it. It's on the table if you want it. You just have to receive it into yourself, into your own life. And America today needs the vaccine of God's grace in how we deal with people, how we love people. We need the grace of God that will help us find forgiveness of sin. And we, my friends, are the ambassadors, the spokesmen that God wants to use to share that message with other people. Well, let me just summarize. There's three simple things of what I think the church has that the world needs. The first one is the world needs a biblical worldview of how to treat people. Secondly, we have the way to make peace with God. It's through a Savior that died for us. And thirdly, He says, I want you to be an ambassador. I want you to live a purpose-driven life. I want you to share the message. We're waiting for the vaccine for the virus, but we have a vaccine against sin, and it's finding the favor of God, and it can change your life. And we are the carriers of that. We are the people to share that with others. Well, we're going to partake of communion in a little bit, but I want us to pray, and then we'll partake of the elements. But I want you to check your own heart, and I want you to ask yourself, what's your worldview of people? Do we follow Jesus and how he treats them, or are there areas we need to fine-tune? Secondly, have you made peace with God yourself? Have you received his grace into your life? And thirdly, are you living mission-driven so that you can share the message of the vaccine that God's grace provides for people who are separated from him? And when we get all that lined up, can I tell you, it changes our lives and it changes the lives of the people around us. Let's bow together for prayer. If you're listening today and you've never made peace with God through Christ, I'm going to say a simple prayer to prepare for our communion time. Just pray this silently after me. Father in heaven, thank you for your love. I confess I need you today. I acknowledge my sins to you and ask for your forgiveness. I turn from them. And by faith, I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again the third day, and I ask him into my life in this very moment, that he would live in me and through me from this moment forward, and that he, just like he did for Augustine, would change who each of us are on the inside. It is no longer I, it's a new person in Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this time, Pastor Jack is going to come and share with us the communion ritual. It was sent out via email, so maybe some of you printed that off. It's also going to be in the screens, and you can just read through it as he leads us and directs us. Jack?
You know, communion is a celebration of God's deep love for us. And it was a deep sacrificial love. So this morning we were talking about the deep love of God, that he values everyone, regardless of where they come from, what country, what language they speak. I'm glad that we serve a God like that. You know, as we go to communion, I want to remind us that this is an opportunity for those of us who believe in Jesus to reaffirm his sacrifice and what it cost him so that we might be rid of the virus of sin. So if you're gathered together as a family, please make sure your children understand what communion is about. And it's not about age. If they've received Jesus, whether they're 4 years old or whether you're 95, then we want you to partake and remember what Christ has done for us. I'm going to begin where it is the bold print will be pastor, and then in the other paragraphs, we'll be inviting you to read together with us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in God's only Son. This is the verdict: light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life. Everyone that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Amen. To God be the glory. Pastor Larry.
So in the night of Jesus' betrayal, he took the bread and he broke it in the presence of his disciples. And he says, this represents my body, which is broken for you. And he said, do it in remembrance of me. He then took the cup. The cup represents the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for the forgiveness of sins to deal with the virus in our life. And he says, this is shed for the remission or the forgiveness of sins, and do this also in faith and remembrance of me. So today, as we gather together, whether here in the sanctuary or you're listening at home, hopefully you have some elements. We're just gonna partake of the elements, and here's what it is. It's an act of faith to renew our belief and our trust that we are trusting Jesus Christ to be the life changer of our life. And there's nothing greater than that, because Jesus says that he can forgive all sin and bring healing to all human hearts. So I'd invite you here to come forward. Pastor Jack will direct you. And if you're at home, let's join together. Jesus said, this represents his body, which is broken for us. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. You may partake. He then took the cup, and he said, this represents my blood. And I want you to do this. It's more than just something you should do. I want you to make it a faith action, that if there's anything in your life that needs to be cleansed or healed or forgiven, say, God, I'm going to trust you that the blood of Jesus Christ will somehow come into my life to bring victory in that area. You may partake. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that you've provided the vaccine both for today and for tomorrow to cover us and to cleanse us and forgive us and to give us hope. And we celebrate that today. We thank you for the view you have of people who are valuable to you. Thank you for providing the way of making peace with you through our faith in Jesus Christ. And we thank you that we are ambassadors. We carry the message to help other people find favor, the favor of God in their life. So, Father, on this Sunday, we just celebrate and give thanks for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we have a closing song. I direct your attention to the TV screen, and sing it as a affirmation of your own faith. After the song, I'll be back and we'll close the service. But let God's Spirit minister your heart as we sing this together. And those that are here in the sanctuary, you may stand.
Praise God from whom all blessings.